From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Tillman's Corner, Father Stephen Verzel. And now your host, the Director of the Office of Evangelization and Family Life, Pat Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life.
And I'm Father Stephen Verzel, pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish at Tillman's Corner. And we are joined and led, as always, by our Archbishop Thomas Rohde.
Thank you, Father Verzel. Thank you, Mr. Ahrensberg. Welcome to all those who are joining us in the broadcast.
Well, Archbishop, we are in the middle of very weird times, very strange times. And so we're going to be talking about just kind of the way our lives have changed a little bit over the last few weeks. Before we begin that conversation, would you lead us in prayer?
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dear God, our Father, we turn to you. You are the source of all goodness, all blessing, all healing, all forgiveness. In your mercy, hear us as we pray for our world, our country, our loved ones. Protect us from all sickness, all evil, all danger. We ask you, our Mother Mary, please pray with us. Saint Joseph, please pray with us. Saint Raphael, all the angels and saints, please pray with us. Father Silos, please pray with us. As together we approach you, our God, asking you to hear our petition, which we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. So, Archbishop, I thought maybe we'd start, as of the recording of this, today was the day that the Holy Father did his Urbi et Orbis address and blessing from St. Peter's. And he focused on Mark's gospel when Jesus is asleep in the bow of the ship. And, you know, the disciples are getting tossed about on the rough sea. And they wake up the Lord. And, you know, were you not concerned that we were going to drown? And he sort of chastises them for not having faith, you know, and the Holy Father kept talking about he's in the boat with us and we're not alone as we go through this. I thought it was a beautiful image and thought maybe we could just start there. Some encouraging words that, yeah, it's stormy right now, but he's in the boat with us.
He is in the boat with us. You know, we could on another program talk about the mystery of suffering, but that's not what we're going to talk about today, but he's with us. And this I believe it deeply because I've seen it too often, that God can bring good out of the worst of moments. Mm-hmm. And so it's for us to trust God and say, God, I'm putting all this in your hands. You bring good out of it. And I think there are many ways that God can work in our lives, both individually and as a church right now, and I would also say as a country right now, God can work powerfully if we trust him and put everything into his hands, confident that he's with us.
You know, I've heard you often say, Archbishop, that Cardinal George of happy memory, Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago, gave a new reporter a piece of advice, which was when reporting on the church, don't use the word unprecedented. If you look at the 2,000-year history of the church, we've been through plagues, we've been through, so it's not unprecedented, but boy, these are some weird times. I mean, you know, I just think of how much has changed in the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. The church has been through all this before, but we as individuals haven't, and that's our struggle. We can look back and be very confident in seeing that the church has weathered these days before, in times of pestilence, in times of plagues. And we're going to get through this, but nonetheless, it feels so strange because it is strange for our own personal experience.
I was particularly moved, before we move on from the discussion of the calming of the sea, but when the Holy Father had chosen that scripture to be what he read to everyone and or what was proclaimed, and then he spoke about it at length, because when I visit the sick, that is almost always the gospel that I read. It's there in the ritual book for a visit to the sick and anointing the sick, but there are other options too. But that one I feel just really communicates the presence of the Lord through a difficult, scary time. So I was really profoundly touched that he read that scripture to us.
So Archbishop, one of the most painful things and one thing I did not see coming if you would have told me a month ago that this was going to happen, was the proclamation, or I don't, you would tell me the right word, that there would be no public celebration of the Eucharist. That's something that I did not see coming. It's something that was that's very hard. And I just, if you guys could talk about how we can have intimacy with Christ, even though we're not able to go to the Eucharist itself right now. Because I think there's some people are missing that intimacy with Christ, I think. And
so I'm going to take this from a historical perspective, actually. For periods of time in the church, it has been the case that people separated themselves from the Eucharist, that people would receive the Eucharist very rarely. And that's not actually a good thing. That's something that St. Pius X at the beginning of the 20th century, in addition to encouraging people to receive communion frequently, he also lowered the first communion age to what it is now, to 7 years old. Because our access to the Eucharist is so important and something that we ought to take frequent advantage of. The precept of the church is that we would receive communion just once a year. That's what's required of you as a Catholic. But that is an extreme and bare minimum. So our distance from the sacraments, like, is on some level problematic because the Lord gave us the command to do this in memory of Him. But at the same time, it isn't something that we have to have all the time. It's not something that we ought to demand. It's a gift that is given to us. We are not separated from it in emergency situations. So if you're dying, if you're sick, the Eucharist can be brought to you. So that viaticum, that gift of Christ's life at the end of our own life, is something that is still given to us. The notion that we must have the Eucharist in order to have communion with Christ is actually not accurate, because there are many times when you do not have access to the sacrament, but Christ is still with you for any number of reasons, like if you were in prison, if you were in a state in life when you're not able to approach the sacrament. There are people who want the sacrament that can't have it, and now that number has just gotten larger. So what do? We have to seek out spiritual communion with the Lord. We have to open our hearts and recognize that while He is truly giving Himself to us in a powerful way in the reception of the Eucharist, He hasn't stopped giving Himself to us. So I just encourage our listeners to spend some time opening your heart to the presence of Christ in your life. And maybe the key to that, to the door of your heart, can be through the reading of Scripture, or through watching a live stream Mass, or a recorded Mass for that matter. Or it can be through silent prayer. It could be the praying of the rosary. It could be praying the Stations of the Cross. Any number of things that can well dispose you to time spent with the Lord, in which He shares Himself with you, not sacramentally. We certainly all look forward to the day when we will be reunified at the altar of the Lord, but He's not withholding Himself from any of us. He is with us, and that the story of the calming of the sea really hammers that home, that He is truly with us, and we need not believe otherwise. We should not believe otherwise.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio. Pat Arensberg here with Father Rizal and Archbishop, and just talking about some of the changes in our lives over the last few weeks. And, you know, we do miss the Eucharist. There are some blessings to that as well. Here's what I mean. So I'm watching at home a live streamed Mass many days now, because that's how I can encounter the celebration of the Eucharist and Liturgy of the Word. And I find myself more empathetic to people who cannot attend Mass on a regular basis because they're infirmed or whatever. Maybe there are lots of people who can't get to church because of where they live. And so it has brought greater empathy on my part to people who don't have the Eucharist. And it's also kind of a blessing to my home to have, I know it's not the physical celebration of the Eucharist, but to be in my living room and hear the gospel proclaimed from the television set, the gospel for the day, and to hear the Eucharistic prayer, and for my family to be kneeling in prayer there in my living room, there's a certain blessing to that. It's different from, I mean, I'd rather be at church. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, but there is a certain sanctification of my home that I appreciate, and I'm choose to look at that side as well.
Yeah, you know, we often don't appreciate what we have until we lose it. And I think, Pat, the realizing what a great gift the Eucharist is enhanced when we find that we can't receive it. And so to be able to long for it and to watch television through television, Mass being celebrated, Eucharist being celebrated, it's like, wow, I really want to join myself to this. And I look forward to actually being able to do so physically. But in the meantime, because of my hunger for this, I'm drawing closer to it. And I'm allowing it more into my daily life and into my home. That sounds almost a contradiction, that the more I'm separated from it, the more I join myself to it. But that's very often how the grace of God works. And that's called spiritual communion.
Yeah, and absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yes.
You know, sometimes husband and wife can get a little bickery with each other. You have to be apart for a few days because he's on a trip or she's somewhere, you know, helping her mother or you long for the person all the more. And, you know, speaking of spiritual communion, Archbishop, would you talk about that for just a little bit? I love that at the end of your, I haven't watched the other live streamed masses or recordings of masses either, but at the end of your mass, you read the prayer of St. Alphonse Liguori, which is a longing for communion with Christ.
Yeah, called it's spiritual just communion. That, dear Lord, I can't physically receive the Eucharist at this moment, but I know I'm not separated from you. So please come into my heart as if I was actually receiving the Eucharist, because I believe you're in the Eucharist, but I also believe that you can come into my heart. There's a story in the gospel where the centurion asks Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus says, I will go with you to your home and heal him. And the centurion says, no, I know Jewish law. I know you can't come into the home of a Gentile, and that would make you unclean. And you don't need to. I know if you just say the word, you will come into my home and heal my servant. And Jesus says, I have never found such faith in all of Israel, you know, as this man. And the centurion goes, and Jesus says, go home, your servant is cured. And on his way home, he receives news that his servant is cured, and he realizes it was the very hour that Jesus had told him, go home, I have cured him. And so the centurion knew, Jesus, you don't have to physically come into my home to work your powerful love. You can do it at a distance. And spiritual communion is like being that Roman centurion and say, I'm, and that, you know, his words, we say before communion, every Mass, those when we say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come unto my roof. Only say the word, my soul shall be healed. Well, the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come unto my roof. Mm-hmm. Only say the word, and my servant will be healed. That's where we get so much of scriptures in the Mass. That's just one example, but it's what spiritual communion is. Lord, I'm not able for you to come unto my roof, but only say the word, and I know you have come to me.
I've had a number of parishioners who have expressed that when they watch the live stream Mass, those words have taken on a new and powerful meaning for them, mm-hmm. Because, well, the Lord isn't coming under their roof. It's just, yeah, this is just a different way of having the Lord in our lives, and it's something that we have to get used to, at least for the time being. The Second Vatican Council referred to the family as the domestic church. And, like, I know that, and I know that the two of you know that, but I don't know that we've really effectively communicated that as a church to all of our families. I think that some families understand that they have a responsibility to be a church, a domestic church, as it were, to worship together and to pray together. But I don't think that that's a universally understood thing in the minds of Catholics even. But now people realize that if they want church, they got to do it in their own homes. And so I really hope that that lesson is something that they realize they ought to continue even after we are able to gather once again in the church, that they still have a responsibility to worship together, to pray together. Like, this is opening our eyes to the way life is supposed to be, actually, that we are to sanctify the home, that we are to, like, even you can do extraordinary things during, like, normal time, right? So, like, maybe something that you might do for your family is to light some candles when you pray, because that makes it feel more like church, right? Well, you can do that after this is all over still. You know, you can have these sacramental things that we do as Catholics. And it's good to actually do that throughout the year, throughout normal times, whatever we're going to call going back to normal, I don't know. But yeah, the family is the domestic church. And I think people their eyes are being opened to that reality.
So, you know, as a lay Catholic, we've talked about Mass, I get it. But what about the other sacraments? Are they happening? Are there changes in the way those are being lived out in your priestly ministries right now?
God, the life of the church is going on. You know, if anything, one of the good things I see coming out of the horrible things we're going through right now is an appreciation, a deeper appreciation of our priest. And people are saying that to me. I'm getting emails. I'm receiving letters from people saying, I just want to let you know my priest is wonderful. My priest is calling me. My priest is celebrating Mass every day for us. At, you know, even though we're not with him, he keeps telling us he's praying for us. He's visiting the sick. He's live streaming his Mass. The priests are still exercising their ministry for the good of the church and for the good of their parishioners. They are feeding the hungry. Many parishes are continuing their food pantries. The priests are visiting the sick. They're hearing confessions. They're counseling people either by phone or by appropriate social distancing. The life of the church is continuing, even if we're not able to have public worship and we're not able to have a lot of our meetings. The life of the church is continuing.
And anecdotally, Father?
Yes.
We broke Facebook today.
We broke Facebook today.
We did. I think a lot of it had to do with Catholic Masses going on. You know, so many people are doing things online and streaming it. And just here in the city of Mobile, at least three churches, at least three live Masses were going on. And at some point, Facebook's algorithm just couldn't handle it, and it shut it down. So we were about 20 minutes into our Mass, 16 minutes into our Mass, when we got kicked off of Facebook.
Yeah, I've been wondering, actually, if that is... I've been wondering about the capacity of social media to handle all this stuff. So, yeah, okay. But as far as like the ongoing life of the church, like one good example from my parish is our St. Vincent de Paul Society. They operate in such a way that they are able to serve people still. There's a hotline telephone that they share, cell phone that, you know, they take different times. You know, you have cell phone duty when somebody calls needing assistance. And they're still able to continue those kinds of ministry, helping pay bills, helping distribute food through the food pantry. We have a principal food distribution day on the second Thursday of the month. And that has not rolled around yet since everything has begun and we've had to stop having public gatherings. But we will still provide food for the hungry in that extraordinary way on the second Thursday of the month of April. But then also the sacramental life of the church continues. Even though we don't have the access to the Eucharist, hearing confessions is continuing. And that's so good and so very important that people would continue to approach the sacrament of reconciliation. It is still available to you. It's got to be behind a screen, or you can come to my parish where we do an interesting thing. It wasn't my idea. I saw it on the internet. Some priests in other dioceses were already doing this. But we have a drive-through confessional, which it's not a structure. It's just me sitting in the parking lot with some cones put up, and people drive through, and we stay actually a lot more than 6 feet apart. And
I will mention in Father Verzel's defense, before he did this, because it's so unusual, and I'm not sure it's a good thing to continue once we get back to normal.
Oh, by all means, no.
but he asked me for permission before he did it. I mean, and it's been done very reverently. And, you know, in these unusual days, ministry sometimes takes unusual forms.
Yes, speaking of the life of the church continuing, my promise of obedience is still in effect. You're listening to the Archbishop Show on WNGL Archangel Radio, 1410 AM and 94.5 FM. I'm Father Verzel here with Pat Ahrensburg, Archbishop Brody, and we are talking about this crazy time we're living in.
And, you know, I know, Archbishop, you have some points we want to get to, but I would also encourage families as you're listening to this and talking about the domestic church. I know that one of the emotions I had when all of this started coming down was I was fearful. And the thought of I was worried about my family. I was worried about their health. I was worried about them going on if something happened to me. And it just dawned on me after about the third day of it getting kind of thick. I looked around and realized that two of my kids from college were home when they shouldn't be here right now. And my son, who's supposed to be in school all day at McGill, was home. And I thought, you know, I look at the numbers and statistically, most of us, like 98, 99 point something percent of us are going to be around on the other side of this time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to look back 6 weeks from now and regret not enjoying this gift from the Lord that I have with my family. Because not only are they not off somewhere else, they can't go anywhere. They're stuck at my house. You know, we're doing projects. We're talking more as a family. There, look for the blessings in whatever your life is. Mm-hmm. Look for the blessings in this really dark time.
Certainly, and even for people that might be distracted from that by the uncertainty that the situation brings. You know, that maybe their job is such that they're going to get paid a lot less, or they're not going to get paid at all for in this period of time. That is a very scary thing to consider. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, having your whole family at home, it just kind of reminds you of how much you're in jeopardy because of things like that. But even so, your family's there with you, and that is a blessing. And God's going to provide. God's not going to fail to provide for you. How that's going to work, we'll see. But it is a blessing to be there with your family, even if you're not sure what the future is going to look like.
And I don't know how he's going to provide, Father, but I do know it will involve the body of Christ, the church.
Amen.
That we're in this together. And if we care for neighbor, because that's the other thing I heard from Pope Francis a lot today, was the notion of caring for neighbor. If we care for each other, we will get through this just fine. If we approach it as 300 million individuals in this country, that's going to be a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and pray, thank God for our priests and our people. You know, our people, so many people contacted me and just said, well, what can I do for my parish? Well, one thing, please continue to financially support your parish. Our pastors still have bills to pay. They still have the insurance to pay on buildings and salaries for their people, their employees, and utility bills. The bills are still there. Please remember your parish as much as you can, please. But you know, our priests are there. They're burying the dead. They're having graveside services. They're comforting people in sorrow. They're doing a lot. Our faith is going on. Our priests are there for our people. And that's why I'm convinced our people, when this is all over, will be there for the church. You know, they still feel very much a part of the church because we're going to go through this and get through this together.
If I may do a little plug for one of the things that I'm doing for my parishioners, particularly for my school students, but I certainly don't mind more people knowing about it and participating. I record myself reading a different children's book each day and post the video to YouTube. So if you've got kids and you'd like me to read to them, that's available every day. Usually sometime in the early evening, I try to get it up so it can be in place for bedtime. They're going to stay up too. The videos are going to stay up on YouTube. So yeah, if you priests aren't just doing sacramental type stuff too. Like I enjoy reading to the kids at school. I can't do that. So I'll read to them at home.
And your parish has a food pantry.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And what's happening with the food pantry?
As I said before, it's still available in the same way that would normally operate, which
helping
is
helping a lot of people, a lot of families.
Yes, indeed.
They can use more food. People, you want to do so? He's shaking his head. Good listeners, you may not be aware of that on radio.
So I misunderstood where you're going. By all means, if people would like to make contributions to our food pantry,
non-perishable,
but also what we tell people is that yeah, it might feel good to give us cans of things, but even better, if you want to donate money to our St. Vincent de Paul Society, they're able to get a lot more food with that money than you can at the supermarket through the food bank.
So, Archbishop, how has your life changed? We only have about a minute left, but how has your ministry as the father of this diocese?
Well, almost changed? Everything that was on my calendar, I've erased. Unfortunately, I write things in pencil because my calendar can get messed up pretty quickly. But I find, at least for right now, I'm having more meetings, usually virtual meetings, that we get together by internet or by phone to deal with this, you know, because the situations are changing very quickly. The laws are changing very quickly. And so just a lot more of trying to help the family of God respond to this crazy time. And just going on with church life. You know, one night a week, I have evening prayer by Zoom with the seminarians. I visited all the students at St. Michael Catholic High School this week by Zoom in their distance learning that they're having at home. I had a meeting today with all the priests of the Archdiocese by Zoom. For those good people who don't know what Zoom is, it's that everyone's picture shows up at once on your computer and you all can hear and talk to each other. I use this for my family now because my family lives in different states and we can talk by Zoom and stay close together in a challenging time. Zoom has become my new best friend, you know. But the life of the church goes on.
And the Lord is in the boat with us. He kind of dozed through the storm in the gospel, but he wakes up and calms the storm before the boat goes down. Archbishop, would you give us a blessing as we close?
May the blessing of God be upon each of you and your loved ones. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring Father Stephen Verzel as well as Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio, broadcasting all that is good, true, and beautiful.